orient ourselves to what we're here for. A couple of things. 90th Sunday is communion, so please plan on coming and staying. Also, please be in prayer. I'm going to go teach the group in Hot Springs. Been asking, so, okay. Let's see. Let's be in prayer for Stephanie. What shall we pray? Not tonight, or not right away, Lord. That's it. You know, well, why not tonight? Well, not in the next hour and a half. And so, let's be in prayer, though, in that respect. Anything else come up that we need to be in prayer for? Yes, Linda? He's still in Phoenix? Yeah, okay. Okay. Okay, everybody on the tent there. It's a family thing.
Okay.
Now, where does she live?
She lives in Arkansas.
Arkansas. So, if she lives in St. Go to the same hospital, that'd be something. I know this preacher in this small town, a lady fainted in his church. They didn't know what it was, no lady, so they had an ambulance come and pick her up and take her to the hospital. And right after teaching, the pastor had, heart turmoil, and they had to rush him to the emergency. And from the same church, and they said, what are y'all doing there? So let's be in prayer for Larry, and her name was Debbie. Yeah, I didn't use any other prayer. Okay, yes. Yeah. First name? Tim. Yes. And so let's be in prayer for Tim. Just personal. God knows, and he knows what needs to be done in that respect. Very good. Yeah. So how's she doing? She's home now.
Home.
That must change. Okay. In prayer. You doing okay? Okay. All right, let's prepare ourselves in prayer. We continue tonight. Well, let's go to prayer. Let's pray. Father, you told us in so many different ways in Scripture. Right from the very beginning, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. The ways and the thinking of man are not yours. One of the most difficult things to put together in the mind of man is justice and love. We demand justice, and therefore we look at you and assume you demand it. But for the eye that will see, Father, we can see the cross. And therefore, Father, we understand love. But it's so difficult. Because, Father, we can rationalize so many different ways. Yeah, but. Yeah, but. Yes, the cross, but justice. For Christians, our thinking is supposed to be bizarre to the world. Our thinking is to be foolish to the world. And the world understands and the world demands justice. But history has seen very little love, Father. Is the love that it saw in the three public years of the ministry of Jesus Christ. It has seen very little of that love given supernaturally to man. Few have even seen it ever in their life. Father, we pray that your Spirit will continue to open our eyes in this regard. What we're here for. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. In the barbershop today, and a lady handed me a pamphlet that they had gotten, and if one would look at it and what it was. It was very well done. It was a comparative of 17 religions with what the categories that said basic Christianity. And I was most interested because I have some of these that I got in seminary. The how to be saved or salvation under basic Christianity was just so clear, so beautiful. It's simply solely by faith, the person of Christ. No work, no production, no doing. And with every one of them, all the other 17, which makes up a vast part of the world, great deal of work. Something man has to do. And then it listed view of God, view of Jesus Christ, view of the Holy Spirit, salvation, after death, and I think the sixth little thing that they carried across all the way underneath was just some, they just call it comments. And what intrigued me about this one was in the supposition of Christianity. They used the John 13, 34, and 35. And they didn't quote the whole verse, they just said, and the head of the church, Jesus Christ, taught the mark of the Christian is the way Christians love one another. Because that was profound. The only thing that they said in regard to the life, they talked a little bit about, and under comment, they mentioned the communion, they mentioned the assembly, and then they closed with that comment. And which is very interesting, because that is the mark, and we've studied it so many times in regard to our study that we're doing now, is that which characterizes a person as one belonging to Christ is our love for one another. And when the world looks at that, what did they see? And church history still was not seen very much of the understanding of the love that is given by the Holy Spirit between Christians. Christians divided in the big scene, if you please, between Roman Catholicism and Protestantism. But even within Roman Catholicism and within the reigns of Protestantism, it's travesty after travesty of the way Christians treat Christians throughout church history. And it centers around the difficulty of this love. And this is why we are continuing, and I want to have a set set of tapes on it. We lost all of our tapes from this, and I'm thankful for that, because going through it, we've added things we did not see, and I've left off things that we did years ago that this time around just were better left out, and so this is so difficult. But this class of Tuesday nights, as far as I'm concerned, is where we live in regard to interrelationship, practical theology, whatever you want to call it. Husband, wife, business, friends, associates, whatever, is just right here. And it's so difficult to do. All right, let's open our Bibles, where we left off, in Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 1 is where we left off. Luke 4, 1. Now, what caused us to come to Luke 4, 1 was this. We have studied on our way to looking at 16 impacts of this love that will occur in 1 Corinthians 13, and there are many more. But on our way there, we looked at what is the goal, the purpose, the objective, the labor, a lot of things that we looked at in regard to of the Christian life. And again, how we answer that. What is our goal? What is our objective? And it's one of those things you have to keep your eyes posted on. It's so easy to become, to get involved in vigilance of justice and get involved in political issues, get involved in wanting to run the world, get involved. You have to keep oriented to objective. What is my objective? And this is true in business. This is true in school, in health, everything. What is my objective? And it's so easy to get sidetracked from the objective. And there's so many things that can distract us in regard to objectives. And especially in the spiritual realm, more than these other areas that I just named, as difficult as it is in those, because we have so many enemies. We have the principalities and the powers of darkness. We have our flesh. We have so many things that can distract us from this objective of love. Now, since we're looking at this is our objective, then we ask the question, okay, how? And if we are to love, this love is not just any love. This is not a love that the flesh can produce. This is a love that Jesus Christ produced. We are to love as, and that's the kicker, as, A-S, as Jesus Christ loved us. That changes the whole flow from the law that says to love one another as you love yourself. Changes the whole thing when you say as Christ loved. So then what we have to do, we have to go and say, okay, how did Christ produce this love? And this is what we're looking at now. And we've noted there are three options that Jesus Christ had. One, he could have loved from his deity, for indeed he is God. You must never forget that. That is so important. And I just want to take a moment to remind you, a lot of people, and this comes after reading this pamphlet, it's so important, not that you say, oh, yes, Jesus Christ is God. Why is that important? And I want all of you to be able to answer that, because a lot of Christians will say he's the Son of God, and boy, they'll jump up and down, and that's just a fundamental of their belief. But if you say, why is that important? What if he is not God? What would it change and why? And they really don't have an answer. Well, the Bible says he's the Son of God. Okay, I'm not arguing that. I'm asking you, what difference does it make that he is God? Does it make a difference? And the answer is absolutely. Because one of our premises of our faith is that God must do the work and he must do it alone. And if Jesus Christ is humanity, then there goes the whole premise of faith. Because God needs man to do something. But if God does it the whole package, then all that man can do is just trust him. So that becomes so important. So he could have relied on his deity, but he didn't. And we're thankful for that, because if he relied on his deity, we couldn't do it, because we are not God, the supernatural. He could have done it from his perfect humanity, because he was perfect. Did not have the sin nature, being born out from a virgin, didn't commit a sin his whole life. So we come to the thing. How did he do it then? Okay. He relied on the Holy Spirit. That's how he did it. Pow! Now we can do it. Because he sent us that same Spirit that produced that love in him. He sent it to us. So Luke chapter 4 is where we left off last Tuesday night. And we have made our way through some of this, so let's move. And Jesus, the humanity of the God-man, you got to know when you're talking about Jesus Christ, is it his humanity, is it his deity, or is it something that's a combination? And there are just one or two places where Jesus Christ talks strictly from his deity while he was here. One of the most profound places he talked just from his deity was when they came to arrest him. And he said, who do you look for? And they said, Jesus. And he said, I am. And Judas fell down. And who's inside of Judas? Satan. That was something going on between Judas, or between Satan and Jesus Christ. Because when he said it again, nobody fell down. They got up and said, no, Jesus said, I'm who? Satan. Nothing happened. Why did that happen then? Because he spoke in his deity. it was speaking to a supernatural creature, Satan. But what we're looking here is at what and how Christ did what he did when he was here on earth. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, and we have dealt with the word full now. And we saw this is the same word used in Ephesians, and Ephesians 5:18, we spent some time in that respect. Returned from the Jordan, and now we're dealing with the phrase, and was led about by the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, in the wilderness. Now we've looked at how he was given the Spirit and some of the things in the Old Testament. But he was led about. And we took a glimpse here of how the leading of the Spirit works. And we saw a little bit of this was led. And you have to come to the point, people, and only you can answer these questions. And this is why there are so many different churches and movements and denominations and pastors and independent churches. Do you believe the Holy Spirit can supernaturally lead individuals? Just lead them from within. Or not? Do you think you've always got to work with doctrine, circumstances, people telling you, and a lot of things? Or do I believe that God can lead one of his own, independent of those things? So this is something you have to decide. And my belief and understanding of Scripture is, by all means, God can and does do this. So we looked at the word ago, to be led, and about. Now, Jesus Christ, what we were dealing with was in this word being led about, we were looking at the verb, and sometimes it's rich. It enriches us to look at these things. It's what we call the imperfect tense. And the imperfect tense here introduces an ingressive concept, something that starts at the beginning and continues. So Christ started at the very beginning relying on the Holy Spirit. He made a decision. He, Jesus Christ, made a decision not to rely on his deity. He made that decision. But to rely on the Holy Spirit. Now, this is right where we left off last week. We don't make a decision not to rely on deity. We are not deity. But we make a very interesting decision. We make the decision not to rely on our ugly, filthy flesh. That's our decision. He made a decision not to rely on deity. We make a decision not to rely on flesh. And while we can all probably give glowing sermons on how horrible the flesh is, we can all testify and acknowledge and confess how powerful it is all through the day of our life. All day long, every day, the flesh is always battling to get its say in, to get its way. So we have to make the decision not to rely on the flesh, but to rely on the same Spirit, the second sending by God the Father, that is the Holy Spirit. Now, we didn't get this far, so here's what I want to do now. People, there's no merit in human volition. This is a very difficult discussion, and I'm only going to comment on it. We could sit down now, get around a table, and just go at it about human volition, human responsibility, free will versus election, a Luther battle, Arminian battle, and all of this type of thing. And does man have free will? Or does God, is there a chip that God has put into every one of our brain computers and our computer brain, and it's already programmed everything that we're going to do? Or does man possess free will? The argument being that if man possesses free will, then he is independent of God. The reason that you come to that conclusion is because you praise free will. And the other group is so afraid of praising free will. Both are wrong. People, there is no merit in human volition. There is no such thing as human responsibility in that respect. Example. I want to be Here's my volitional decision. Here's my volitional decision. I want to be as great a basketball player as Jordan. You laugh. First of all, you're the wrong color. Second of all, you're too short. Third of all, you don't know how to play basketball. I mean, we just keep listing them. We just keep going down the list. Why are you not going to make it? But I made a volitional decision. Does it matter? I'm going to be a brain surgeon. I'm going to be a thermonuclear scientist. I'm going to be, you know, and you just keep going through what you're going to be. Does it matter? There's no merit, people. There's no merit in human volition. Had Jesus Christ used his volition to decide to depend on the deity, then deity would not receive, if Christ had used his volition and his humanity decided he's going to depend on his deity, then people, deity, now listen, deity would have received the merit and the glory. Had Jesus used his volition to depend on his perfect humanity, then his perfect humanity. It's the object of the decisions that we make, people, that is involved in the glory and the merit and all, not my free will. Let's get away from this argument and this getting so pumped up about it. The only free will decision you and I have that is of any value is faith. That's why I don't call it even a volitional decision. It is a faith decision. Will you trust or not? That's the only real decision man has in this spiritual warfare. So if we get into a battle on volitional freedom and all, we're in the wrong battle. You're in the total wrong field. The only issue we have is, will you trust or not? Jesus Christ made a decision not to rely on his own ability. He made that decision even in the use of all the doctrine or information he had learned as a human. All of his deity knowledge, all of his human knowledge, he made a decision not to rely on his own ability to use it. It's an astounding decision made by Christ, people. And if Jesus Christ made that decision not to rely on his own ability to assess, apply, make decisions with doctrinal information, how much more? How much more? If he made a decision to rely on the Holy Spirit to assess that information and to produce the effect of that information in him, how much more? People have this idea that if you get enough information inside of you, that there is something wonderful about the human brain, that it'll come up with the right doctrine, with the right circumstance. People, that glorifies man, period, over and out. It does not glorify doctrine. It glorifies man. Give me enough information, give me a situation, and I have within me the ability, the mechanism of putting this all together. No, you don't. God does. So we rely on him. That is not a mechanism. That is the person. Now, when I say person, I'm talking about an intimate being. You don't like the word person. Some people don't. Some people have no problem with it. Some people don't even think about it. But there are people you say, God, the Holy Spirit, the person. God's a person. Oh, no, they're not a person. They're, you know. Okay, I'm not going to get in that battle with you. If you understand, they're intimate beings. Is inside of you. And we're trusting him. But I want to understand, see, this is what happens with us. I want to understand how all the areas of the soul and the spirit going in and all that, and that's why we come out with all kinds of the most unbelievable psychology, psychoanalysis, everything that's trying to figure this out. Don't. It's what we call supernatural. It's spiritual. I trust him to do this. This is why he is sent. So people, if we're going to imitate, as we want to, as we should, the imitators of Christ. You want to imitate Christ. If you're going to follow Jesus Christ, if you're going to love as Jesus Christ loved, then you're going to have to start off with the same decision he did. I'm going to rely on his Spirit. The first decision, if you want to call it that we have to make, if we want to fulfill the new commandment, to love one another as Christ loved us, how did Christ love? He relied on the Spirit. Okay, then. We don't make our decision about love, do we? We make our decision about the Holy Spirit, not about love. If we make the decision about love, then where does that lead us? Well, let me produce this love then. Let me understand this love, and I can work at it, I can learn it, and I can produce it. We don't make a decision about this love. I hope you see the point here. We make a decision about our relationship with the third member of the Godhead. That's our decision, just as it was with Christ. He will produce this love. Don't worry about that. But again, I want to make sure that we're seeing this. And that is that if I make my decision concerning this love, that I'm going to love as Christ loved, and then I've got to learn all about this and try to produce this. This isn't our decision. Our decision is in regard to the Holy Spirit. Am I going to trust him? Because he produces this love. So I'm going to imitate Christ. Love is Christ's love. That means I'm going to figure it all out, like this little thing the kids wear. What would Jesus do? There's only one answer for what Jesus would do. Now, if this is what they meant, I'd have no problem with that movement, but it isn't. On one side, what would Jesus do? WWJD. On the other side, trust the Spirit. That would be great. That'd be a great movement, but that isn't the movement. The movement is I'm going to figure out what Jesus would do in every given circumstance. I challenge anybody to be able to do that. Can't. Unless all you mean is walk by the Spirit. Trust the Spirit to do these things. So this is what Christ did. So the imperfect there, right from the beginning, Jesus Christ made a decision. His decision was about what? I'm going to rely on the Holy Spirit. I'm going to trust the Spirit to guide me in the wilderness. Think about this. The Son of God, God-man, walking around in the wilderness. What is the wilderness? The wilderness is the world. I'm going to walk around, and I'm going to trust the Spirit, whether I take this path or that path or this path. My goodness, he doesn't need the Holy Spirit. He's God. That's what I'm trying to show you. He decided to rely on the Spirit. That's what this is about. This is our decision, to rely on the Holy Spirit. Now, this verse we read about, in perfect tense, it's what we call the passive, and all of this is important. We can learn some things from it. I haven't heavy laden much of the language with you. It's what we call the passive voice. Passive voice. Now, whether you understand grammar or not, let me just explain to you, you know, the Greek verb has a tense and has a voice and it has a mood, and all of these are important. But what we learn from the passive voice in the Greek is, this is what we call the grace voice. And why do we call it the grace voice? Because when you have the passive, the subject receives the action of the verb used. Now, what is our verb? Our verb is Jesus Christ was led. Thank you. Boy, was I going to be embarrassed. All right. Jesus Christ was led about. So what does the subjective tell us? The passive tell us? Subject, Jesus Christ, receives the action of the verb. He receives being led about. He receives it. Being led about. He walks by faith, and he receives being led about. What are the mechanics? People, the mechanics vary to every given circumstance. There are so many different ways that God leads us. So many ways that God directs us. You're not going to be able to turn this into law. See, this is why people write books just sit on divine guidance. Here are the rules. If you read this, you figure it all out, and you'll be led. you're not going to make a law out of the leading of the Spirit. I am sorry. We love laws. We love rules. We love mechanics. Am I doing it right? Am I doing this? And what do I have to do? Can you shorten that book into just maybe 4 or 5 steps? Can you say make it 10? Can you do this? You know, give me something I can put my teeth into. Trust him. Oh, that doesn't tell me anything. Trust him. That's the mechanic. Trust that he will do what he is sent to do. You trusted Christ to do what he was sent to do, did you not? And you believed in him as your Savior, he was sent to do what? To save. You trusted him and he saved you. What are the mechanics? I trusted him. That's all I did. I trust the Holy Spirit to lead me back. Yeah, but no. Don't do that. Don't get your mind all messed up. People, we're not going to make laws for the Christian life. And I know we want to. Guidance, you're not going to make it a law. Love, boy, if I could just get a grip on this and what it always looks like and what it's going to do and what it's going to do in this circumstance, what it's going to do in that one and what is love. You're not going to. I am sorry. You need to go to a church where they give you. And there are churches that will give you a handout, 50 things you have to do to get each of the fruit of the Spirit, all nine. 950 things, and you'll get all nine of the fruit of the Spirit. Big church in Urban Arlington that'll do that for you. And you work at all 450 of them, and you'll get all of the fruit. Or you can just say, hey, I can never do all that. I think I'll just trust him and let it go at that. So you can try to do it, or you can let him do it. So the passive voice here simply is this. It's a grace voice. What did Jesus Christ do for divine guidance in this love? He trusted the Spirit and he received being led. That's how it happened. So when we put our faith in the Holy Spirit, we receive from him his leading along with all of these other things, including what? Including love. The same love given to Christ is given to you. The same love that caused Christ to put himself on a cross for you, you have to lay your life down for another believer. One reason we don't have much of that in the church, something they're walking by this love. Jesus Christ received being led about by the Holy Spirit, not by his own decisions, not by knowledge of doctrine and truth and historical information from ages past. I'm sorry, he didn't. It would defeat the whole thing of the incarnation, the whole purpose of God even sending him. He did that. It would just destroy everything that God had sent him to do. Jesus Christ received being led about as our example. If you need an example, I'm going to come in the form of man and show you how it's done. This is a dangerous thing because what do we do automatically? We make God man. We want to make God like us. And God did that. And we could spend a fun night on this great issue. But God became man to show us how it's done. You need to see how this is done, I'll show you. I'll come down, I'll become man, and I'll walk by the Spirit, by faith, I'll produce this love so that you can see it. And man still doesn't see it. So Jesus turned, as it were, his own desires, his own free will, over to the Holy Spirit. You guide me. I essentially have no free will now. All I have is faith. I have no free will. I have no will that I want to turn left or I want to turn right or I want to go straight. I have turned my free will over to what? Faith. I'm trusting you. See why free will of man is not an issue? Because the moment we walk by faith, we have said, I am locking up free will, human volition, all that kind of stuff that we like to argue about. I'm turning it all over to you. What I'm walking by now is faith, not free will. I turn that over to you. When you trust the Holy Spirit, you are turning over to him your free will. Oh, no. Man's got to hold on to something. Why? Because, oh, man, how we love to hold on to something. We just won't let go. We've got to be a part of the equation. Now, Christ said, I'm not even part of the equation. I did not come to do my will. I don't do my will. My thoughts are not mine. My words are not mine. My actions are not mine. They're God's. Did he not say that very clearly to us over and over and over in the gospel? This is not my volition. This is not me. This, I'm walking by faith. So people, when you walk by faith, you turned over to God, your free will. Now, does that frighten you? Turn over your... It should frighten you if you turn your free will over to man. Any man. Any man. A husband, a wife, a boss, a pastor, a news commentator. Anybody. It ought to frighten you. Let them decide for you and think for you. God help us in America. The people we turn our free will over to. And your Christians turn around and, oh boy, you can't turn it over. No, no, you got to hold on to it. Don't turn it over to God. What is walking by faith? I turn over my free will. I don't have free will now. What do we do when we stop trusting? That's when my will comes in now, isn't it? Now I'm taking over. Now I've decided my free will knows what's best here, so I'm taking back my free will, my volitional responsibility, and I'm going to make decisions here because, quite frankly, God, you're not doing it the way I think it should be done. So I'm taking over. And what always is the result? Sin. Sometimes it looks very ugly, i.e. Samson. Sometimes it looks very beautiful, i.e. the Pharisees. But it's still sin. And that's human volition. So you've got human volition versus faith. Jesus Christ made a decision concerning the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ trusted the Holy Spirit to guide him where he should be, what he should do or say. Let's summarize this. One, it was by the power of the Spirit that Jesus Christ loved. It was by the power of God the Holy Spirit that he loved. Could Jesus Christ have loved from his own source? Yes. He's God. But we would not have been able to imitate that. I am not saying he couldn't. I'm saying he did something so wonderful for us. He said, I will not rely on my deity. I will rely on the Spirit. Yes, he could. But he made a decision. It was by the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ love. The Holy Spirit was the cause of this love. The humanity of Jesus Christ was caused to love by the Holy Spirit. Point two, therefore, if you desire to love as Christ loved, you too, me too, will have to rely on the Holy Spirit by faith. So the decision that you and I make is not a decision about faith, not a volitional decision. We make a decision, am I going to faith or am I not? Am I going to drop my volition and just trust him or not? That's the decision you and I make. We make a decision about the Holy Spirit. If that frightens you, think about the object then of your faith. Think about the one to whom you're turning your volition over to. Not turning it over to man, who may or may not use it right. And many people turn their volition over to man. Many people turn their thinking over to man. Many wives turn their thinking over to the husband. Many husbands turn their thinking over to a woman. Many people turn their thinking over to a preacher, a commentator, a leader, some charismatic person, and all of this kind of stuff. Then when the trust is broken, they fall apart, brokenhearted, need to be repaired, and all the king's men and all the king's horses can't put them back together again, and they bring in the psychiatrist, psychologist, therapist, all kinds of drugs, all kinds of things to put back together this person and blame the person that they turned over their thinking to. That's the mess that a lot of Christians are in. Why not turn it over to God? Not man. Let him guide you, lead you. Give you thought. How to think, what to do. Under point two, let's look for a moment at 1 John chapter 2. Just for a moment, Bible class. Go way over here to 1 John. Phenomenal book, I love it. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. 1 John 2, 6. and Asian people that so off, so terribly off from living the Christian life because of one verse in this epistle, know very little about the epistle. Know very little of what's going on in this great epistle. But boy, they'll hang their whole life on one little verse that they don't even understand. Here's one, verse 6, chapter 2. The one who says he abides in him, that is, a person who says he abides in Jesus Christ, ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. And you know what I love about this is, it's so characteristic of John. Okay, how did he walk? How did he walk? John does this to us all the time. John will say something and you go, okay, John, what do we see in his account of Jesus Christ and Nicodemus? You must be born from above. Okay, they ain't gonna tell you. He just goes through and he says all these things all the way through. He's just not a mechanic man, driver. But here he tells us, ought to walk in the same manner. How did Christ walk then? We know how he walked. He walked being led by the Holy Spirit and all the things that the Holy Spirit gave to him. Now, let me, before we leave point two again, in the empowering of Jesus Christ, who was manifested? This is good. Now think with me. We have the Holy Spirit. Is God the Holy Spirit empowering the humanity of Jesus Christ? Who was manifested? Who did he come to manifest and reveal? God the Father. So, God the Father is manifest. You want to see me, the Father said? Here he is. This is me. Look at me. See, the Gospels are a revelation, not of Jesus Christ. They're a revelation of the Father. The book of Revelation, we're going to learn about Jesus Christ. But right now, if you study the Gospels, you're getting a picture of what does God look like? What is God like? Okay, I'll give you a shot. Give you a shot. Now, in empowering the believer, it's the Holy Spirit, empowering the believer, he's manifested. Who he transformed into? Jesus Christ. Why? Because he is a revealing of the Father. This is not going to sound right to some of you and to a lot of people. But I can't worry about the enemy. So many people get stuck right here. What is great about being transformed into his image? Because he's the image of the Father on planet Earth in history. So that people, if you look like Christ, if you love like Jesus Christ, who do you look like and who are you loving like? God. God. Don't, please understand this the way I mean it. I'm not belittling this. I'm trying to take you to the level so that Jesus took us to. Don't get hung up here. Yes, I want to be transformed into his image. Yes, I want to love as he loves. But why? Because then the world will see what God is like. The world will see what God's love is like. And that is astounding. That's why he sent his Son. That's why he sent his Spirit to manifest himself. So if the world wants to see how God loves, let them see it through you as you're transformed into the image of Christ and love as Christ loves. This is what God is like. This is why I often say to you, it's your view of God that is so important. He came to manifest the Father, did he not? Does anybody here have a problem with that? I mean, have you think I've missed it? Somewhere missed it. All of the Gospels. He came to manifest God. We call him the Father. God the Father. And if we see this love, we're seeing the love of the Father, because God is love. We see Him on the cross. We see Him on His knees, washing feet. All people, if you can understand, it's so difficult to give these words to God. And then again, it isn't, because He did it for us. The humility of God. How many humans would have the humility and patience to deal with a finite little worm, arrogant little worm like Job? I want you to think about not all that we studied about Job, just think about what God did. He went through all that He did with Job, and He takes Job by the hand, and He says, Job, I'm going to take you out here into, as it were, space, and I'm going to say, where were you when I created this world? And where were you when I defeated the seven-headed dragon? And all this, what kind of a God is it that would take this kind of time? I know fathers who won't even take time with their children to take them out and explain phenomenon of the world. Son, let me take you here and show you this phenomenon. Let me show you this one. Look, kid, just, you know, learn it, accept it, believe it, or whatever. Become very, very, you know, irate with Job. Oh, curse the day I was born, and curse you, God, because you didn't live up to your part. And most parents, yeah, yeah, bottle. What did God do? Let me take you out here. Let me take you on a trip. You want to judge me? Let me show you who you're judging. Just imagine no space, roof here, the space out there. God took Job up there and said, now, I'm going to show you all this stuff. Sort of the cybernetics that we can do with it. Put their helmet on and take us out there and show all the things they did. What kind of God is it that has that kind of patience for this little nothing Job? Not even a Jew. That's what kind of God. To see Him, this life. His life. So, yes, I want to be transformed into the image of Christ. Why? Because Christ is the image of God. Man will see God and know God. And know God's life. That's what's going on here. And it's so important. It's so beautiful. Okay, point three. Jesus Christ set or establish the precedent for our lives, for our love, for everything that we do in the spiritual life, living under the power of the Holy Spirit. He set the precedent, dear Lord. Walking by the Spirit, being full of the Spirit, trusting the Spirit. Walking by the Spirit means we do not live by what? We do not live by law. We do not live by flesh. We do not live by list. We walk by the direction of the Holy Spirit and liberty. And oh, people, I know. I experience the same things you do. That's so dangerous. That's so uncertain. You can't control it. You don't know what it looks like. How do I know? How do I know if this is of the Spirit? How do I know if this is of me? How do I know this? How do I know that? That's why I like law. Because boy, there it is, and I can just zoom, and follow it. That's why I like the military. Left, right, boom, boom. That's why people like those things, dear people. But where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is. Nope. 2 Corinthians. Boy. 2 Corinthians. Hey, I'm happy. You just give me a reason to turn to one of my favorite passages. 2 Corinthians, chapter 3. 2 Corinthians, chapter 3. Verse 15. But to this very day, whatever Moses has read, the law, a veil, blinding, lies over their heart. Blinds them. But whenever a man turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, the Lord, who is that? Look back to verse 14. Jesus Christ. But their minds were hardened, for until this day, at the reading of the Old Covenant, the same veil remains unlifted. What the veil did, blinds us. because it is removed in Christ. So we know who the Lord is here. It's Jesus Christ. But, now watch the progression. But to this very day, and that takes us right up today in our time, whenever Moses is read, a veil, blindness, lies over their heart. But when a man turns to the Lord, that is, when a man sees Christ and understands Jesus Christ, the veil is taken away and something else changes. Now, once that has happened, your Lord, the Lord, is the Spirit. No longer Jesus Christ, but the Holy Spirit. See, now you're ready to go to the second sending. And, watch this, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And dear people, that's how you walk. Do you want laws so that we all walk the same way? Is that what you just want to be, is in this big military thing, and everybody turn right, turn left, bow face, straight forward, all this? Everybody does it by the numbers? Or do you want liberty? Most people in the world don't want liberty economically. They can't handle it. They want the government. By and large, they want the government, somebody to take care of me from the womb to the grave. And that's why most Christians go to back to law. They don't want this liberty. Liberty is tough. Liberty means people, nobody's going to control your life on earth. It's going to be the Holy Spirit. So he leads you. He leads you about in the wilderness. He's your Lord. He leads you about. He will lead you right, left. Yeah, but everybody doesn't turn right. That's right. It's liberty. Everybody doesn't turn left. That's right. It's liberty. We all don't marry the same man or woman. Thank God for that. And don't say, yeah, either they can have mine. Just stay with the analogy. And so this is what it's an individual life plan here. We don't have the law. We're not all going to do the same thing on the same days and the same week and all this stuff and just keep going, and we're all not going to do all these same things under the same circumstances. You are now in a dynamic place of freedom, liberty. And the Spirit's going to lead us so differently. Do people who live under liberty fail? All people, yes. Do we want to get rid of liberty because of that? God, no. Will you miss it sometime, the leading of the Spirit? Yeah. But is the more you walk back, do you trust him? The more you do it, the more he's going to show you, guide you, lead you, and you're going to see it, and there is your hope, and you're just more and more, you're walking in that Spirit until what? You start being transformed into the image of God, to the person of Christ. And people begin to see a lot that they don't even understand. Don't understand that kind of love. I don't understand a love that will forgive 70 times 7. That is totally absurd. It's love. We can go on and on and on with it. And what are they looking at? What are the angels and man looking at? Looking at God. Through you. Because inside of you is God producing Christ, producing the image of God. It's not complex. We make it complex. And it's not difficult. We make it difficult. It's not difficult. I think one of the worst things we can tell children, now this is going to be hard, this math that you're getting ready to learn. Yeah. Okay, you just told me it's going to be hard. I was in the store the other day and in line, and the kid was given, I don't know what it was, but it was a drink, and he put a plastic cup on top, and there was a drink or something, some ice in it. And the kid was ready to go on, and this kid sitting in the middle, and the mom said, now this isn't what we normally get, what we get is normally white. And I mean immediately the kid said, Mama, this isn't white! And didn't want it. And I had to stand there while we go get a white one. The kid was perfectly happy until told, this isn't a white one. This is a cherry one. And if the mother had not said anything, so this is going to be hard math. Okay, boy, it's going to be hard. Don't make loving as Christ love hard. It will be hard enough itself. Don't make it hard. To lay down your life for somebody else is hard enough. Don't make it hard getting there. He's made it very simple for all to be saved. He's made it very simple for all to produce this life, to follow Christ. How did Christ do it? That's the Spirit. And what's really beautiful, if you want to think about it in these simple terms, take this off the hook. I mean, really. I'm going to trust you. Unless you led me to the right. And so it's your deal. And if, you know, God did, and you walked that way, I say, then whatever happens, I'm walking this way because God took me this way, and whatever happens, it's His doing. Give up. Here I am. I trust you. It's really a wonderful place to be, people, to trust God. For our hope is. And where there's that hope, it won't fail because He pours this love into us. So this is the love that He pours into us. So Jesus Christ set the precedence for our life. For everything that you and I do, walking by faith in the Spirit. Point four, this means that if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, if we are led of the Holy Spirit, then just like Jesus Christ, we are not led by the law, we are not led by the flesh, we are not told what to do by the law, we are not dictated by the standards of the law, but by the Holy Spirit. And that's what Paul said in Galatians. When you walk by the Spirit, you're not under the law. And that's where that comes from. And why did he say that? Because you're either going to be led about by law, what you think is righteousness, and what you think is right, and what you think is wrong, by the law. Or you're led about by the Holy Spirit. When you're led around by law, you're going to figure out what love looks like. You're going to figure out what righteousness looks like. You're going to figure all these things out, and you're going to do it because you're going to walk by law. People, I can't figure this out. I can't figure this out. Don't do it. You can't either. So when you walk by faith in the Spirit like Christ did, you're not going to walk by the law. You don't need the law. You're going to trust Him, and He will produce that righteousness in you. He will produce that love in you. Us. That's what He will do. Okay, we will begin here next Tuesday evening. Close now with a word of prayer. Father, pray that you continue to open our eyes, we might see why Jesus Christ was even sent. Who and what He is. He has come to glorify Himself, not to show us you. Why did you send the Spirit? Continue, please, Father, to take us on this journey. Open our eyes that we might see. That we might see you. That we might get a earthly glimpse of your love. How it shatters all of our thinking from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Devastates a lot of our thinking. But we see you. Praise you, Father, for the God that you are, that out of your love, you do all this labor to bring us to you. We praise you, Father, for the God that you are, in your Son's name. Amen.